Blog Talk Radio.
And the Spirit of the Lord declares that I am the God who hovered over the earth. I am the God who hovered over the face of the deep. I am the God who hovered over a place that was void and empty. And it was the Spirit of the Lord that I've broken out, that I've covered the earth, that have spoken, declared things, and spoke things into existence, and there it was. I am the God who did not forsake the covenant that I made with the earth before the foundation of the earth. I am God, Yahweh. I am the God that hovers over the nations, and even as I hovered over the earth in the beginning, I am hovering over the nations even now. But it is I who have declared that after you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power to witness throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. And I have anointed you prophet and apostle and teacher and evangelist to be witnesses throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. So I say unto you today to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So I declare unto you today to speak, to prophesy, to decree a thing, and it shall be established over the earth. But even my eyes, Lord, my Satuya, Christopaya, my eyes have beheld the things that are in men's hearts. But today, I declare unto you that my spirit that was here in the beginning is here even now. I am coming, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So I say unto you,
Pastor Tyquasia God. And tonight, this will be one of many of the broadcasts that is very important. Everything we talk about in the Word is important, of course, but tonight, this Word is very important because God is just laying it heavy on a lot of the believers' heart that have the Spirit of God. And what God has been saying to us about everything that's going on, because I know everyone heard and seen all over social media, you know, the eclipse and the earthquake and all these different things that are happening. And mainly what the Spirit of God is saying, that it is time to repent. It is time to turn from our wicked ways and be made whole through Christ Jesus. Because repentance is being provided for us, you know, to become free of our sins and to receive forgiveness through Jesus. And Jesus is giving his people this opportunity, you know, before it is too late. He's given the warnings. He's given the signs. He's given everything that we need to see or know to let us know to get right before he comes. Before he comes. Acts 3:19 reads, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." So God is trying to spiritually renew us and forgive us and allow us to be connected back to the Father. And I know we've heard this time and time again, but what we need to know and understand that repentance is not crying. Repentance is not on a Sunday morning in devotional. Repentance is not, you know, quoting the scripture of repentance. Repentance is really a change of heart and mind that allows you to get closer to God. You know, it allows you to turn away from sin and instead turn to God. You know, it's a sincere desire in your heart to obey his commandments and his words. Because he said, if you love me, you will obey me. So when you really choose, make a choice and say, you know, I really love God, you're not going to just want to stop sinning. You're going to want to make God proud. So you're going to want to do the things that make him proud. It's not a matter of stopping something, because if you stop it, you can at any moment pick it up again. But when you repent and God delivers you from that thing, you know, he will take the taste out totally and you will not go back. You know, you will not be like a dog that returneth unto his vomit, because you will have the Spirit of God. You will be strong. You will turn and not go back anymore. Now, God is saying this at a time right now because he wants us to really be remorseful in our wrongdoing. He wants us to really want to reconcile with him, like truly, not by word of mouth, but by our hearts, because the time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe in this word. It's not a lie. It's not fake. It's not mythical. You know, all of this stuff is coming to pass and fulfilling itself right in front of us. The word is really manifesting right before our eyes, and we got to repent, and we got to have faith, you know, that what we're reading is true, that Jesus is coming back. He wants us to know and to believe that this thing is real. But anyway, whether you believe or not, Jesus is still coming back. But he wants us to have the opportunity to repent, to be saved, to be delivered, to be changed before it's too late. One trick of the enemy that he always uses on people is the fact that he thinks that they have time. We don't have time, and our time is not God's time. So we literally do not know how much time we have. We don't know that tomorrow could be our time be up and that's it. We don't know if next week or 2 weeks, and this is not to say for you to be fearful and live a life, oh, am I going to die today? Am I going to die in the next hour? No, but it's to say the time is winding up. You know how we usually say the time is winding up? No, it's winding up. We're getting closer and closer to the coming back of Christ. So we don't have the time that we think. Even if you're young, even if you're a young adult, even if you're a teenager, a preteen, a baby, we don't have time because we don't know when we're going to go. So we have to be right with the Lord. Now, the baby is covered. God is good with them. They good. They slate is clean. God is, you know, taking them. It's cool. But for those of us that have, you know, sinned and have dirtied our hands, you know, and bloodied our hands and whatever it may be that we have done, we have to repent. We have to turn. We have to ask God for forgiveness because we do not know when he is coming back, and we have to be ready. We have to get right with God. We have to have godly sorrow. Godly sorrow, not where you sat and boohoo all the time, no, but where you are sad because you have sinned against God. You have done something that was not pleasing in his sight. You know, so we praying that God's people have a repentant heart so that they feel bad. They have the conviction so that when something, when you do something wrong or you fall, you will feel a way about it so that you can feel it in your heart and say, no, that's not right. And you will go and repent, you know, and you will turn from that thing. We got to confess our sins and then ask God to deliver us. Because we want to walk in forgiveness where all the shame is removed, you know, where we don't have to be embarrassed or we don't have to feel less than because we repented. We ask for forgiveness so that we can know in our hearts and our minds that we will be ready to go to heaven. That we will be ready. We want to be ready. We don't want to be in doubt. We don't want to be left behind. We don't want to, you know, get wiped out when God releases his judgment. We don't want to be a part of that. We don't want to be on the side of the wrath of God. And I believe this was part of a message before, but God is saying it's more vital now than ever. And if it got to be repeated, then it got to be repeated because somebody has to hear. Because if we do not repent, you will not be able to receive help and release from the torment of sin. You're going to keep living that thing. You can't be forgiven unless you forgive and you repent, you know, and feel remorse and feel genuinely apologetic for what you have done and really want to actually change. Because God can't help you unless you really want it, unless you really want to change. You got to confess it. You got to forsake the sin. You got to forgive others. You got to keep the commandments of God. You got to recognize the sin, repent, and really admit to yourself that you have sinned. You can't be delusional thinking that we're perfect, you know, thinking that, you know, well, I ain't do too much and I know we all have sinned. There's only one perfect man, and that's not us. That's not you, and that's not me. So if we're not Jesus, and we're not the Messiah, therefore, we all got to repent. We all have fallen short. We all fall every day. So we got to make sure we're repentant, and the enemy is also not allowing us to get in a place where we're prideful and we think that we don't need to repent. We need to be repenting. That's something that we should be doing every single day. I don't care what your title is. I don't care where, you know, who you are, whatever the case may be. But we should all be repentant because a righteous man falls seven times a day. Seven times a day. But guess what? We humble ourselves. We repent. We ask God to give us, you know, to have that conviction. Allow God to show us ourselves. And then ask him to help us. To stop, to be delivered from the sin and, you know, take the plank out of our own eyes. So then we could go and help our brother and our sister. But God wants us to turn to him, especially at a time like this, because what's about to hit this world, we're going to need God's Spirit. We're going to need the Holy Ghost. We're not going to be able to make it without it. You know how in the movies where, you know, the world ends and it's soldiers and war everywhere and they shoot in and, you know, you got to have somebody with the strategy. You got to have somebody to lead you that know where to go, that know where to direct you to stay out of the danger and out of the harm's way and know where to go to get the food supply and the medicine. That is the Holy Ghost. Because when this trouble hit this land, the only thing that's going to be able to lead us is the Holy Ghost that is all-knowing, that is all true. That is the only way we're going to make it through. We're not going to know what to do. We're not going to know which way to go. We're not going to know where to get things from it and how to handle it and what to do. We're not going to know. We're going to have to move each and every day by the direction of God. And people don't believe that. They don't think that because they live a life so freely, so lawlessly, so recklessly. They don't have to answer to nobody. Well, they do because God is still there. But they choose not to answer to nobody, not to pray or seek direction and instruction. So they live willy-nilly, you know, do whatever. I wake up, I do what I want. You know, I go where I want, you know, whatever. But it's going to come a time where you can't even do that. You're going to have to know God. You're going to have to yield to his voice because you're not going to know what else to do. And that's the time we coming upon. America is not exempt. America is not exempt from trouble, from catastrophe, from war. We're not exempt. We're not exempt. And how ungodly we are and the route that America has taken, where they've taken God out of everything, you think that danger and trouble is not coming here? Oh, it's here. It's already here. It's already here, but God is trying to give his people a chance to repent. That's what he's doing. He wants us to put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. Repentance is always available. It's there whenever you are ready to make the choice, whenever you are ready to make the decision that you are ready to, you know, forsake it all for the Lord. He's right there. He's right there waiting for you. He's right there waiting for you. He wants us to be his people. He wants to be his children. We already are because he loves all of us, but he wants us to make a choice to be a part of the family. You know how you got some family, like, yeah, y'all family, and y'all got the same bloodline and probably even the same last name, but, you know, they don't come around. You know, they don't insert themselves. They don't connect. They don't fellowship. They don't come together. But God wants us to make that decision to be a part of the kingdom and to be connected, to make the choice to come around and be close-knit and, you know, around our kinfolk. Because believers, all believers that love God, we are kinfolk. We're brothers and sisters. And that's what he wants for us, to choose him and come together to return to the Lord. He don't want us to stray. He don't want us to separate ourselves from the family. He want us to pray and talk to him about our mistakes and tell him where we messed up and ask him for forgiveness and not just pray, but also listen to the Spirit of God. Listen, that is key. That is in capital bold letters, listen. Because oftentimes we pray, we ask God things, and we don't listen. And in this season, we need to be listening, and we need to ask God to open up our spiritual ears because he is speaking, and he might be telling us things to do, and we don't know because we're not listening. And say, oh, God didn't answer me. God didn't speak back. Oh, God didn't tell you. He might have already did, but we wasn't listening. We didn't take quiet time out. We was too distracted, you know, by everything that's going on. Now, I'm not saying that what is going on is not important, because it is. It's signs. God is speaking through it. God is warning us. But he's also saying, if not this, then what will make you believe that I am coming back? These are all signs, and I'm telling you to listen, to hearken unto my word, to stop being stiff-necked and stiff-hearted. I'm telling you this because there's something coming, and you're going to need my instruction. You're going to need my word. You're going to need my strength. You're going to need my glory. You're going to need my Holy Spirit to make it. We're not nothing without them. We are nothing without him. We need him. And we don't want to be the ones that is going to operate in a false repentance, because that is the thing. And that is only, you know, when you feel danger or, you know, something is really, really bad. You say, oh, God, I'm sorry. You know, I ain't going to do it no more. And boom, what happened? Once you fix the problem, you resume back to the sinful lifestyle. And we all have found ourselves there before, but God is saying no more because the time is coming nigh. The time is now that Jesus is coming back. Not saying it's today or tomorrow, because you know people take it literal, but it means now, like in this time, now. Like we're not going to wait until, you know, we are hundreds and hundreds of years old. I don't believe that, because I believe the prophecies are fulfilling itself and everything is lining up with the word in chronological order. And it may not give us an exact time, because the Bible say we don't know the time or the hour that no man know. And I do believe that, but I also believe that it's showing us in plain sight that the time is coming. That the time is coming. It's showing that we don't have the time that people think they have. And this is speaking for my generation, who swear that, oh, you know, in the generation after, oh, we got time, we young. I'll do that when I get older. How do you know you're going to make it to the old, to the older? How do you know? How do you know? Why put off today? Why put off for tomorrow what you can do today? Repent today. Turn from your sin today. Ask God for forgiveness today, because tomorrow's not promised. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. All we know is that the signs are here and it's now. That's all we know. We don't know nothing else. And to be quite honest, we don't need to know anything else. All we need to know is that God is warning us. Take heed, because this is a warning. It's a warning. It's not a game. It's not a game. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What does that sound like to you? So when God releases wrath, because all these signs are warning us, you know, speaking to us, telling us that the time is coming, that means if you don't repent, you're going to die. Because the wages of sin is death. Plain and simple. And I know it's very harsh, and a lot of people don't like to hear it, because a lot of people don't speak like this. You know, everything is pretty much, you know, roses and butterflies, but that's not what the word is. The word says, yes, you can have life and life more abundantly, and you can have peace and joy. Yes, that's if you repent. That's if you obey his word. That's if you turn from sin. That's if you forsake everything for his will, you know, for this lifestyle. Then you have those things. It never said, oh, you just getting an inheritance because, you know, just because. That's not how God operates. It's a give and take relationship. He's giving you something, but he's expecting you to give up something. You got to give up something. You got to let go of something. And usually someone or some places. And it's not really a big deal, because, you know, God will always supply and give you something greater. But you got to let something go. And that's what God is saying, because we don't want to give up the world. We don't want to let go of sin. We don't want to let go of, you know, the life that we live, you know, and the things that we do without a care in the world. We don't want to let go of being carefree and lawless and, you know, not having to submit and, you know, just be whoever we want to be, attitude, disrespectful, rebellious. We okay with that, you know, like, oh, I'm cool, I'm chilling. I don't see the need to change. My life is fine. But in all actuality, the word said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. There's no other portion for you. Because if you're not marked by God and they don't see the blood stain on your doorpost, on your children, on you, on everything that belongs to you, it's getting wiped out. It's in the Word. The Word does not change. It's the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So therefore, it's nothing new under the sun. So this is not anything new that you hearing me speak about. This is not new. It's in the Word. So if you don't understand it and you're not marked and you're not covered, you're going to perish. God don't care about, oh, but I was good and I had a good heart and I was helping people and I was giving homeless people $2, $3, and I was taking people out to eat, or, oh, I was doing people hair for free and giving them shape ups and line ups and edge ups. God is not impressed. He will reward you for your good deeds here on earth, but that is not going to get you into heaven. We got to do what's going to get us into heaven. We got to do what's going to allow us to get into the kingdom. We don't want to be ignorant. So what God is doing is sending his people to teach you, to give you knowledge, to lose truth all in your atmosphere, because he said, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. So this, what you're getting when you're listening to these teachings, when you're listening to the Word, even in your church on Sundays or wherever you go, listening to the Bible study, listening to these Sunday broadcast, is because you're getting knowledge. God is spewing knowledge out to you. So you cannot say that you don't know, because God is telling you. God is warning you. God is trying to open up your eyes. He's trying to let you know that warning comes before destruction. He's trying to tell you, get right with him. Turn from your wicked ways. Take your hands off of that witchcraft. Take your mouth off of God's people. He's trying to let you know before the time run out, before the last grain of salt go down in the timer. He's trying to give you an opportunity to stop, repent, and turn, because when he releases his judgment, it will not be good. And you can't run from it, and you can't hide from it. There's nothing you could do that's going to stop his judgment. Just like when we say it's nothing that the enemy can do to stop God's blessings, because what he cursed, no man can bless, and what he blessed, no man can curse. That's basically what it is. So if you're blessed, you're covered, and you're marked, you're good. Can't nobody curse you. Can't no harm come to you. Nothing can happen. But if you curse, then that's just what it is. You're cursed. Can't nobody pray you out. Can't nobody pray a blessing on you. Can't nobody turn it around. Not when it's God. We're not talking about when it's people. We're talking about when it's God. And how can you curse yourself according to God? By not repenting, by stay living a lifestyle of sin, by doing witchcraft, by, you know, trying to harm God's people, and, you know, just doing stuff that is wicked and evil. Not a person that is struggling or, you know, having a hard time coming up out of some things, that's different. Those are two different things. But we're talking about being wicked. We're talking about being evil. We're talking about the ones who God is, you know, trying to let them know, listen, my judgment is coming, but because I'm merciful and I'm loving, I'm giving you a chance. I still love you enough to give you a chance. That's how good he is to all of us, that he know we did wrong. He knows it already. He knows it because he's God. He's all-knowing. He sees it all. He's omnipresent. So he knows, and he still say, okay, I know. I saw what you did, but I'm waiting on you to repent. You know, I'm giving you a time window to repent. I'm giving you a chance. Because the goal is not for anybody to go to hell, for anybody to be hellbound. That was never a place for us. That was for Satan and the angels that went with him. That was never for us. But he said, hey, if you want to choose to be a part of that team, if you want to listen to Satan and allow Satan to be your father, the father of all lies, then listen, that's where you're going. That's where you're going to let him drag you to, right to hell. See, we don't want that. We want to be heaven bound. We want to be ready. We want to make it in those pearly gates. But we got to get right with him. It's not about getting right with nothing else but the Lord. Get right with the Lord. Get right with the Lord. Because exactly what I'm saying is in Matthew 3 and 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Acts 17 and 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that's for people who are trying to single out certain spots. Oh, this is for you guys. This is for this city. This because this city is sinning. This, no, everywhere, everyone is sinning. Not everyone, but like, you know, in every state, city, whatever, town, wherever. And we have believers in all these places. So how could we think that it's only one area? Like, so only one area have believers in it? When God's people is all over the world, all over the nation? Yeah, it don't make sense. It don't make sense. And Acts 17 and 30 kind of shuts that down because it says he commanded all men everywhere to repent. So that's including you, 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 and you, and me. So nobody is excluded. He's talking to everyone. He's talking to everyone. Matthew 3 and 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 1 and 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Exactly what I just said is in the word. You're deceiving yourself if you think that God is not talking to you. If you think the warning is not for you as well. No, we all got to get right. We all got to dot our I's and cross our T's. We all got to make sure we got clean hands and a pure heart. We all got to make sure we got an upright spirit. All of us, everybody. Get right, church, and let's go home. All of us got to do it together. This a corporate thing. This a corporate word. He talking to his people. I mean, all of us. He ain't single it out. He ain't say one name. He talking to all of us. John 8 and 24, I said, therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. That means, so if you don't believe and you don't be converted and you don't repent, you're going to die in that, in the state that you're in. You're going to die in that state. And people, I'm telling you, people don't like to hear it because it don't sound good. It don't sound pleasant. But it is the truth. It is the truth. Ecclesiastes 12. 13, verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Okay, so that answers that right there, everything I said. Judgment is not just for evil, it's for good as well. So if you're doing right by God and you're doing what you got to do, it's just like when your parents go away and they leave you to do something and they give you certain responsibilities. Okay, when I come back, I'm going to check out what y'all did. The ones who did what was right, you will be rewarded. You will get whatever the reward your parents have for you. For the ones that was acting up, what happened? They get a whooping. They get punished. They get things taken from them. That's what's going to happen in the spirit realm with our Father, with his children. So if he got us here on earth to do a work, to do a thing, and he coming with judgment to see, okay, well, what did you do? And even if it's good, okay, cool, then you good, you know? You can go in the other room. You can chill, relax, get your reward, chill. But for the ones that, oh, you're not doing right, oh, you acting up, you being wicked, not going to be good. Not going to be good for you. Your judgment won't be good. So that's what God is saying. He's saying my judgment going to be loose, and it could go either way. Either way, how the judgment goes is your choice. You repent, you want to be, you know, right with God, you want to do his will, you want to surrender all, you want to turn. Guess what? You'll be marked, you'll be covered, you'll be good. God will keep you in an ark of safety. You will be good. But if you won't and you don't turn, you're going to die. You're going to perish in your sin. You're going to die in that state. That's just it. That's just it. Second Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, that's God's ultimate goal. He wants us to all come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish. He don't want nobody to die. He don't want nobody to go to hell. But it's your choice, and you can, and you will if you don't turn. He want to clean us from all the unrighteousness. That's all God want to do. He want to refresh us. You know, we want to be in his presence and be refreshed, be revived, have our sins blotted out by the blood and be made white as snow and be cleansed, you know, and be made new creatures in Christ. That's all God really wants for us. And as I stated before, he wants to give us that opportunity, you know. He's actually making it a real emergency right now. Like, it is imperative right now to repent of sins and, you know, really turn because of everything that's happening. It's showing that Jesus is coming back and coming back soon. So we got to get right. We got to do what is right. We got to get our house in order. We got to get our house in order, because I don't think that these things are just happening just because. And also, we definitely not giving the government or anybody else the credit of doing these things. No, I believe this is God. I believe these are the signs. I believe God, this is how God is speaking to us. He's showing us. And the Bible says, those that have ears, let them hear. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Listen. And you need a preacher so you can hear. You can't hear yourself. You got to be taught. You got to hear from somebody that God sent. You have to go and submit under somebody. You got to hear it. You can't just come up with your own things. You can't just say, oh, yeah, God said this and God. No. Because then that's a whole nother topic that we're not going to get into. But allow God to be God. Go and listen what God is saying. It don't hurt to submit. You know, it don't hurt. It may seem like it, but it don't hurt at all. Especially when you're submitting under somebody that, you know, God sent with the Spirit of God, you know, and you know that they're speaking the truth. Why? Because you also reading your word as well. And allow God to speak. Allow God to speak. Allow yourself to be teachable. Allow yourself to be able to learn so that you can know when God is saying something, and so that you can be able to discern the end of time, you know? We using these things for other stuff. You over here talking about I'm a Taurus and I'm an Aries and all these different things through the stars. But when the stars is supposed to be speaking to us through what God is saying, through the moon and the sun, that wasn't for astrology, for your retrograde and whatever else they be talking about. No, that was for God to speak to us, to show us signs, to know what season we in, to know where we going, what's about to happen, what where we are in the Bible as far as time-wise. That's how we recognize. It wasn't for that. But God do use the stars, the sun, and the moon because he created it. It's his. It's not Satan. Satan just mock and mimic what God does. So, of course, he's going to try to use it and make it about something else. But the earth and everything in it and the fullness thereof belongs to God. So he will use anything he pleases to show us what we need to see and know. So take heed and really listen to what God is saying. You know, no matter where it may be coming from, not anywhere. I'm just saying, like, if it's coming from your leader, you know, or someone that you know is praying for you, because God will send people. We can never say that God never sends anybody, because he does. He will send that warning before destruction. He will, because he's a merciful God and a loving God. So you cannot say, oh, I didn't know, God. Nobody told me. Not true. God will always give warning. Now, whether you see it as a warning or not, or whether you listen and take heed, that's on you. But God will always do his part and send that warning. And I believe that's what he is doing now with these signs. He's sending a warning loud and clear. Loud and clear. He's saying, okay, this is not the end, no. But the time is coming close. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's all God keeps saying is repent, 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 repent. Repent, 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 repent. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And you don't want to perish. You don't want to perish. God has given out his knowledge. He's informing his people. He's given his people information, signs, wonders, miracles, everything. To show that I am the true living God. No other God is doing what our God is doing right now. No other God. And that's why they fight this particular God so much. This is why they come against Jesus Christ so hard. Because they know that he is real. If he was not real, then why is everybody fighting against him? If he's so made up and he's so powerless and he don't exist, and if he's just a white man God and all these different things that they're saying, then why are they fighting so hard to make him non-existent? Why are they fighting so hard to make people not believe? Why are they fighting so hard to pull him out of all places, work? Schools, you can't even pray no more. Why are they fighting so hard if it's not real? If he is not real, then why are people building bunkers to go and hide? If he's not real, why are they building an army to fight against him? If he's not real, why are they doing this? Why are they trying to open up portals to the demonic? Because they're trying to call on demons to come and help them to fight, because they know that once the Lord's judgment is released, they can't run. They can't hide, and they surely can't fight, because it's already fixed. The victory already belongs to God. It's already done. So ask yourself, if this God wasn't so real, would they be doing all this just for a figment of our imagination? Ask yourself that. The God we serve is real, and he's alive, and Jesus is coming back soon. So you want to be ready. and you want to be fortified. You don't want to be no jellyback Christian. You want to be a warrior. You want to be a believer that stand on the word, that trust that our God is coming back for us and coming to slay everything that's not like God. That part get me excited because I already know that I know that God, come on now, Jesus coming back. And he finna tear everybody up. It's finna be a war. Yeah, you might want to get right now because everything that's in our way is getting destroyed. So that's the type of God we serve. He said, listen, I'll give you a chance to get on the winning side. I'm giving you an opportunity to come on the winning side. Now, I ain't going to force you now. I ain't going to beg you, but I am giving you an opportunity. He's given us an opportunity to cross on over to the winning side. Because if you don't, and you don't repent, and you don't change, and you don't forgive, and you don't confess your sins, and be cleansed, and be washed in the blood, and marked, the ending is not looking too pretty. It's not looking too pretty. All men everywhere, repent. Repent, repent, repent. Whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent. If we say that we have no sin, as John said, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Repent daily. We don't want to die in our sins because Jesus Christ is coming back. And I thank you guys for tuning in to Kingdom Talk. I'm your host, Pastor Tyquasia Goss. And God loves you and so do I. Remember, God is real. The end of time is here, it's now, we're living through it. So get right with God, repent and turn, and let's get ready to fight. Let's get ready to fight. Thank you guys for listening to NDO Christian Gospel Radio Network. And you guys have a blessed night.